Hey, I don't know if any of you are the weather people. Who are the weather people in your family who track the weather and want to see? My wife is that one in our family. You have to watch the Weather Channel. You know how many tropical storms are right now currently in the Atlantic. How many are there? Four. Oh, thank you. And, you know, they're going to get classified with the new Greek alphabet letters or something like that soon. Anyway, some of you know this, but, you know, we had a pretty big one come through this last week, Hurricane Sally. I don't know if you heard about it, but it followed an unusual path. It went through a part of the panhandle of Florida. Usually, they go up and to the left or straight up or something, but this one went up and to the right and out toward the east, but it went through an area that doesn't get hurricanes very often. A friend of ours lives there. And he said the winds got up to about 105. There was flooding all over the place. I was just calling to check in on him. And he made a statement that stuck with me all week and actually ended up right here beginning our message. He said, our house was built for hurricane weather. It's built for hurricanes, for hurricane winds. He said, actually, our house had no problems whatsoever. We're built up. The way that he explained how the house was built, they literally, they're on the beachfront, so they're right on the water, so they're on sand. And so they, before they pour the slab, they dig down really deep, and they actually put a different kind of soil down, something with clay or something in it. Then they dig these deep footings, and then they pour a concrete slab on top of this clay slab and all of that, and then they anchor everything onto it, on the house. And he said they even anchor the roof to the slab underneath. He said there's beams that come all the way down from there. They go all the way up to the roof, and it bolts the roof on so that the roof can't blow off. And I loved it. I loved the phrase that our house was built for hurricanes. He said, but our front yard, the beachfront, didn't fare so well. They had just finished it. It was a beautiful project. They showed me the pictures. They had built two retaining walls, cinder block, beautiful walls, a whole pathway from the house all the way down to the beach. It went a couple different directions with pavers. It looked incredible. And he showed me the before and after pictures of that, and there was like nothing left. The walls were ripped down. They were gone. The pavers were gone. Everything was gone. Their whole front or beachfront part was gone. And he said, you know, the house was built for hurricanes, but we built the front on the sand, and it had no foundation. And you talk about a picture, the time for which we live. And the hurricanes are blowing. And you know, real hurricanes are blowing. And as of yesterday, ground is shaking again too. But if there's an analogy for what people are feeling in our country today, it is a hurricane. And that's coming by way of social, cultural swirling in the midst of COVID, in the midst of all the other things. In the midst of all of that, there's hurricane winds blowing. And the biggest question for us in the middle of this season is my faith actually built on something solid or not? Here's what's going to happen and is already happening. And I know that from some responses and communiques from some in our church, outside our church, is that in the church for believers, the faith of believers is being radically tested right now. It's being tested. It's being sifted. It's being shaken. To discover what am I actually hoping in? Where is my faith? And that is happening across the country because of all kinds of those reasons. Because COVID took our ways of doing worship services away, and we do it differently now. And it took this rhythm away, and it took that away, and now we can't meet, and now I can't see so and so. And lots of reasons. It's happening across the country. The question is not whether or not it's going to happen. It's how are we weathering this storm? And I wanted to begin a new series called Anchored. And this first message is prepared for the storm. Prepared for the storm. I was planning to preach in Romans chapter 12. I had a nice series all ready to go for us. I told you I was going into the gifts of the Father after our last series, and I just couldn't get there. I felt all week the Lord wanted to turn the page. So here we are now. In a series that's going to look at the words of Jesus first today, but the rest of the series is actually going to go through the book of 1 Peter. Because in the book of 1 Peter, Peter is speaking to a church that is in the midst of a very similar cultural, social pressure, upheaval with the Roman Empire, and right before all kinds of other things are about to begin. And he speaks to the church and he reminds them of the most critical things that anchor their soul, their faith in the midst of the storm. Not only practically dealing with issues of how the soul is to be anchored, how we anchor what we set our hope in, but even how we handle people, how we speak to unbelievers, how we treat politicians, you name it, he gets into it. It's going to be practical. It's going to be powerful. And so that's really where this series is going to go. And my hope is that he can disciple us a lot on how to handle this moment that we're in. And it'll lead all the way up to the elections and past this series through 1 Peter. Hey, Siri, I'm not talking to you. Why are you on? Go away. Three things that'll come out of this as we answer the question, how can we be prepared to stand in the midst of the storm, is that we've got to learn to be anchored by Jesus and not religion. That's going to be a big issue. It's going to be a big issue for every one of us. We've got to be anchored by strong roots. Our roots are going to have to be real, and they're going to have to be deep. And then lastly, we've got to be anchored by healthy expectations. So let's look at the words of Jesus, Luke chapter 6, and then our second point will be in Luke chapter 8, just so you know, if you're opening your Bibles or looking for that. Luke chapter 6, it's the end of Jesus teaching the Sermon on the Mount. It's Luke's account of that teaching. And at the end of it, he says these words, and some of you know them well, but they're powerful for us today. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke against the house, and it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them, here's my words, here's what I'm saying, reads them, hears all about, but doesn't do what I've asked them to do or what I've invited them into, doesn't trust me that I am who I said I am, doesn't trust that I can do what I said I'll do, that there's a way of living today that is different than the way the world handles stuff if you would live like a kingdom person. He says, my words, this is what he's been teaching for this whole time. All this about the kingdom, how the kingdom is so different, treats people very differently, even our enemies, than the way the world does. He who hears my words and doesn't do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus uses imagery of a man digging deep on the sand, through the sand, all the way down until he hits bedrock. And from that point, after removing all the sand out of the way, he hits the rock, and that is what he anchors his house to. And he says, those of you who want a faith that can weather the storms of today, right now, hurricane forces of what it's like, what's going on in our country, the upheaval, how it's taking place, what's going on. If you want a faith that's going to weather all of that, you've got to be willing to dig deep. And to dig deep and to anchor it to the rock is to actually come to me, he says. Hear my words and do them. Come to me, hear my words and do them. Not come to Fox News, come to CNN, hear their words, and do what they say. Not come to your best friend, talk to them about all the political angst, hear what they have to say, and do what they have to say. He says, come to me, hear my words, and do what I've asked you to do. There's a way of living in the kingdom of God that is just so different than our normal. You with me? But we're learning to be kingdom people, not Odos and others and everything else, however we grew up. We're learning to be kingdom people and do things in a kingdom way. And he says, listen, when we learn that, your faith gets tied to the living word. It gets tied to me, who I am, by hearing and believing and trusting me at my word. We have got to get more of Jesus and a whole lot less religion. That is what will anchor you and me in the midst of a time like this. The question is, Have we come to Jesus? Do we know how to come to Jesus? How do we actually have a relationship with Jesus that matters, that is real, that is not just built on all the different things we do? It's built on the way we take communion. It's built on the way that we worship. It's built on the day that we come to worship. It's built on how we hug or don't hug in service and what kind of coffee we've got. It's built on what our small group looks like or doesn't look like. It's not built on any of that. He said, listen, all of that is not the point. It's me. I'm not saying those things aren't important and they don't have value. They're a big part of how we get deep roots here in a minute. But he says, if you want to be anchored, I'm the anchor. And what you'll find out right away, and you're finding out right now, is if you are tied to him relationally, like he's your hope and he's your anchor. Or if you're tied to everything else you're hearing and you're trying to find hope in some other way, you're going to find it right now. There was a lot of times, just like us, where the disciples were talking with Jesus, they just did not understand what he was going to do next. They looked at things he was doing. They looked at the way he was doing things. They heard his words about, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give my life as a ransom. And I'm going to, this is what's going to take place. And they heard what he had to say. And they just could not see, how are you going to make good out of this? Disciples, just like us, how, God, are you going to make good out of whatever? You with me? By the way, I say that a lot for those of you who are visiting. It just means say, yes, I'm with you. Amen. Uh-huh, pastor, I'm out here. Woo, woo, can I get a woo? It's all that. That's what I'm asking for. You bring it back and it goes really well. Religion won't survive the storms, but a relationship with Jesus will. How do we build one? It's the way you know. It's what you've heard before. These aren't new things. Spend time in praise. Spend time in prayer. Here's what I know. When things are a little bit wacky, when my soul is a little bit uncertain, when fear starts to creep in, I have to get with him. I got to walk with him. I got to meet with him. And the way I've learned to meet with him, maybe the same way some of you have, maybe you've got other ways to meet with him, but I need some worship. I need to remember who he is. I just need to begin to praise. I need to see him exalted as the king over the universe, not as the addendum to my life. I need to see him in his glory for a moment and with my mouth actually make a declaration. You alone are king over all. Like, you are God Almighty. I forget sometimes. I think so-and-so is the one that controls my destiny. I'm waiting for what they say next. I'm hanging on their every word and their permissions instead of saying, God, my life is in your hands. You're the one. You're superintending this. I don't know how you're going to make something out of this, but you are. He says, they're anchored to me. If anyone comes to me, here's my words, and does them. Let me tell you what he's like. He's like my friend who built their house on the rock. And the winds came and the floods came, and their house stood strong. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells a different parable, talking about what we do with God's word, how we hear it, like what kind of heart do we bring to him. But he gives a picture of the importance of roots. You want to be anchored, you've got to be anchored by strong roots. He explains a parable that he told about a farmer who went out to sow some seeds. He said, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. The seed falls on the path, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. When stuff starts to stir, when all of a sudden things are chaotic in their life, when things aren't the way that they should be, when injustice is happening, when it seems like all kinds of stuff that are driving you crazy are taking place in culture, when things are happening in your life, when your health is at risk, when your finances are at risk, when your marriage is at risk, this kind of stuff, the real stuff of life, he says, what happens is that they've heard my word. They got all excited about who I am, who I said I am, what I'm going to do, what's coming in the end. But when push comes to shove and the wind starts to blow, they have no roots. It just kind of stays there at the rocks. It's really, really short. And so what happens? The wind comes or the waters come and it just pulls them down. And your faith just kind of, I don't want to go to church. I don't believe it. I don't even know. I don't know. I tried this stuff. It didn't work. Blah, blah, blah. And whether you did it that way or a different way, that's kind of what it feels like. And that's what it looks like. And he says, listen, you got to have roots. He says, as for the good soil, those who hear the word, hold it fast. Hear that. Hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. Here's the difference. To be rooted means as you begin to experience those kinds of things, the winds, the stuff, the craziness in our culture, the things that are happening all around us, the new rhythms, the stuff that doesn't work anymore, all those things are happening. Your marriage is struggling. These things, as they begin to happen, instead of throwing away or disregarding who Jesus still is, what he has done, what he's going to do, and what is still to come, these things that your hope and your faith is built on, instead of letting those things go off to the side and say, oh, whatever, I just got to deal with this stuff. He says, with patience, you hold on to those things, and what you learn is roots. Roots begin to grow deep. They begin to become steadfastly grounded, straight down. Does it ever amaze you how these tall palm trees somehow never fall over? You get these oak trees and other things, they come right over, land on houses, land on cars. And then you got these palm trees. They're 200 feet high, or whatever. Maybe I'm exaggerating. This is really tall. They're all through Florida. You see them. They're all along the coast, and they just never fall over. Well, why is that? Take a wild guess. The roots, they go straight down. They go deep. They go deep. They go deep. And it can handle it. It can bend, and it doesn't fall over. How do we build strong roots? One is we learn to trust in times of testing. If you're in the middle of it right now, if your faith is being tested, anything that tests your faith is a trial. Anything that tests your faith is a trial. Test your faith in what? That Jesus is who he said he is, that he can do what he said he can do, that he's got the victory that he said he has over your life, that he is presently with you when you don't see him, feel him, taste him, smell him, or whatever else, that he is here, and that he is indeed, like he said in his word, working things together for your good, that he can take evil and turn it to good. Man meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that he is able to do those things in your life. Do you believe it? We just went through the series through Joseph. It's crazy to hear him say that to his brothers who sold him into slavery. He was trafficked. And he said, you did it. I get it. And you did it for evil. But here's what God did. He did it for good. Huh? How does this happen? How can you have evil and good at the same time in parallel? But God is able. The worst evil to turn it to good. So we learn to trust in times of testing. So if you're in a time of testing, instead of hating it and despising it and being angry about it, right now just say, God, here I am. I'm going to trust. This is my opportunity today in 2020 to begin to build some roots, because there's going to be other storms that come, and I want a root system that is anchored. Amen. And we learn to thank him for his faithfulness. Here's what we forget. Okay, he got me through the storm. It passed and my house is still here. Great. And then the next thing comes like, God, how could you allow something else in my life? And look at this. And you go right back to the old way of thinking and you forget to be grateful and thankful that he brought you through the last storm. Because it's the last storm that was building your root system for this storm, that was preparing you for the next storm, so that one upon the next, your faith is growing, your roots are going deeper. But if you're not thankful, if you're not the ones that return and thank Jesus for their healing, if you're not the ones that come back and say, God, I remember you were faithful to your word, you brought me through, then you forget. Then you forget. Instead of building a memorial of your testimonies of God's faithfulness. We shared a testimony of the faithfulness of God right before we started today. Someone had one, shared it, wasn't prompted by anybody, was something that we needed to celebrate before we forgot. And to thank God for his faithfulness, because it was coming out of a time when we did not know how God was going to do it. And he did it. He did it. And then lastly, in that part, we link arms with other believers, just in small groups and one-on-ones. It's over coffee. It's in times together where you share stories with each other and you realize, listen, I am not on my own to deal with storms. I'm linking arms. It's the fellowship of the ring, people. It is. We're linking arms to get through this thing. That is so critical. That's how your roots get deep. Here's what the enemy always tries to do. He tries to erode your root system. He'll say things like this. You can't trust God. You can't trust God. He never comes through for you. Don't you remember all the times you didn't answer your prayers? Don't you remember them? Let me remind you. You prayed for so-and-so. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Pray for that other thing. Didn't happen. You prayed for peace in the universe. Didn't happen. You can't trust these people that you're supposed to be linking arms with. They'll all stab you in the back. Don't get involved. You just get hurt. See, the enemy wants to erode your root system. But if you want to be anchored, prepared for the storm, a house that will stand, you've got to let those roots go deep. And lastly, you've got to be anchored by healthy expectations. Healthy expectations. Listen, I'm going to blow up our American dream for a moment here. Jesus promised you that you're going to have all kinds of crazy storms in your life. He said, in this world, you will have tribulations, but take heart, I've overcome the world. In this world, they're going to come. In fact, he constantly prepared his disciples for problems, for storms. They're going to do this to you. They hated me, they're going to hate you. Hey, listen, you're blessed when they say all kinds of things and revile you because of me. You're blessed. Hey, listen, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get handed over. That's your opportunity to share your testimony about me. Woohoo! This healthy expectations are not that I'm Cinderella, La La Land, Disneyland. It's the opposite of Disneyland faith. What's the next fun thing that God has in store for me? It might be a prison cell. Sorry. What's the next great thing that God has in store for me? I get unfriended by a close friend that I've always, but my political views are different. They don't like me anymore. By the way, I'm not putting politics with religion. I'm just saying these things, people not liking you, things happening, whatever else, the storms of life, a problem, your health, something in your family. Jesus did not promise any of us no problems. He promised us, I'll be with you in the boat. I will be with you in the boat. Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Yea, I am with you always to what? The end of the age. You'll have them, but I'll be with you. And if you want to be prepared for storms, then you have to build with that in mind rather than building with Disneyland in mind. I can't build my faith on our blessings, blessings, blessings. Let them flow down, Lord. Let them flow down. Oh, you mad at me? What happened? What's going on? Are we not good? What happened? It's not like that. He says, great. It's time for you to grow. Let me pour out some blessings. It's time for you to grow. You're going to get blessed through growth. You're going to get blessed through faith. You're going to get blessed because I'm going to show you the parts of your hope that are tied to temporary winds. And those winds aren't going to anchor you. Let me show you right now. Some of us right now, you're tying your hopes to an election. You're tying your hopes to a certain outcome. Who knows what God's going to do? Who knows how he's going to do it? You read the Bible like I read the Bible and you realize God has a way of doing things that you and I would never do them that way. Am I right? He would never do them that way. But if our hope is tied to an outcome, you're going to do this way. You're going to make it this happen that way. Here's what's going to take place. Listen, he says, don't anchor your hopes to things that are temporary, like a retaining wall out in front of your house built on the sand, because that's not going to keep you. You build it to protect your little world, but that's not how I do it. I'm building you on a bedrock. I'm building roots that go deeper. And so when the winds and the waves come, you're going to last. Forget your retaining walls. Hold on to me. And that is what the church is about to experience and is experiencing right now. And some of us, again, are struggling in our faith, trying to reconcile God and this that I'm looking at right now. God and the problems in our world. God and the suffering that I'm seeing. God and the pain. And he's saying, listen, hold on to me. I will walk with you through this. I'll teach you. I don't have time to share it, but you have in your Bibles, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, talks about the testing of our faith, and the purpose of it is to develop perseverance. And perseverance, that steadfastness, that hold fast that Jesus talked about, that kind of rooted faith, that's the key. He says, when you get tested, it begins to develop perseverance. But if you're ever going to be mature, grow to a place where you're not shaken by all the stuff, you can see a big God in the midst of a temporary craziness in the world today. You're linked in and your soul is connected to something that doesn't move. If you want to mature, you've got to let it have its full effect. You've got to learn to be steadfast in the midst of these things. And that comes through a relationship with Jesus. There's no other way. You can't do it any other way. You guys know the story. Mark chapter 5, Jesus tells them, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Let's go to the other side. And the winds kick up and the waves, and Jesus is sleeping. Still explain that to me. I don't know how you sleep in the midst of that, but Jesus is sleeping. The waves are breaking into the boat. They feel like they're about to drown. They wake Jesus up, freaking out. Church, stay with me. Freaking out. How many do you know are freaking out right now? They're panicked. They're waking Jesus up. And what do they ask him? Don't you even care? Don't you even care that we're all going to die? And I don't believe for 2 seconds Jesus minded getting woken up. This is what prayer is all about. Getting the attention of God. Bringing our requests. Saying, hey. But he says, what happened to your faith? See, we can wake him up if we need to, but he's not sleeping, please. Don't get that in your mind. He's not sleeping. But we can come in prayer and say, hey, here's what's going on. And he says, great, come on. I'm glad you came to me. Let's do this thing. I'm in your boat. Peace, be still. Waves, calm down. Your soul, be at rest. Oh, I got you. That's so different. Don't you even care? That is so normal. By the way, if that's you, and that's normal, but understand where you're at. You are growing, and your faith is being shaken and tested, and that's okay, but let it begin to take root. And instead of running from or freaking out about, does he even care about me? Does he see? Does he know what's happening? Yes, he does, and he's in your boat. But what he says to do is come to me. Come to me, hear my words, and do them. And you'll have a faith that's going to make it through all of this. Amen? Let me pray. God, tonight we just come to your word. We open it because we need it in this moment. An anchored faith. We need an anchored faith that can handle 150 mile an hour winds, that can handle the hurricane forces of the turbulent world that we're in right now, of the craziness. But God, as you sift me, as you test my faith, as you test the church's faith, Lord, I pray, would you remove all the sand, everything that we hope in and we trust in and we've built on top of that separates us from trusting in you. Solely, holy. Remind us of the end of the story. Remind us of the middle of the story. Remind us of our role in the midst of the story. So we don't lose our focus and fight battles you did not call us to fight. And wage wars you did not call us to wage. But learn how instead to trust you and to love big and to walk in peace with a different spirit. Instead of fear, to have a faith that's built in you. So for everybody tonight who doesn't know the Lord Jesus, Everything about this starts with a relationship with him. And if you're listening online or you're here right now, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And if you need to receive Jesus and begin a relationship with him, he wants to know you. You don't have to wait for a church building or anything else. You can start it right now just by talking to him like the disciples had the opportunity when he was right there in their boat. You can just say this with me. Dear Jesus, I'm coming to you right now. My soul, my emotions are all over the map. I feel like I'm going to drown. I don't know where to land. I feel like I'm in a boat in the middle of a lake and there's nothing around me to anchor me to. But you've promised to be with me. You promised that you love me and you're not embarrassed of me or my sin. You gave your life to cover my sin, to forgive me of my sin, and I'll just accept your forgiveness. You shed your blood for me, and I'll accept that, but you rose again so I can know what victory is like in my life. All through this journey, that you bring glory out of suffering, and I pray in the midst of where I am today that I would begin to be able to know you and walk with you in a way that leads me to glory. All that you have, hold me. Give me peace today. Grow my faith today. Let me know I'm loved this moment. Restore my joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.